not a done deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski in this morning for Bill Radke. GM was happy to announce it had found a buyer for its Hummer brand, but that deal isn't looking too promising this morning. China's planning agency is likely to reject a Chinese company's bid to acquire Hummer. Reports say that's in part because its gas-guzzling models don't fit the kind of conservation model China is trying to follow. Starting Wednesday, all computers sold in China, including those made by U.S. manufacturers, are supposed to be equipped with new internet filtering software. The Chinese government says it will stop people from surfing dirty websites. Critics say Beijing actually wants to spy on Chinese PC users and block them from political websites. A trade spat over the technology may be brewing, as Mitchell Hartman reports.
The software is made by an obscure Chinese company. Analysts who've looked at the code say it's not just intrusive, it's lousy.
It's not a particularly well-written piece of software. It has a lot of security flaws.
Danny O'Brien of the Electronic Frontier Foundation says it'll let Chinese spooks monitor millions of Chinese PCs and give cyber thugs everywhere a piece of the action.
Spammers and other fraudsters will be able to use this as a platform to launch attacks all over the world.
That's bad news for U.S. companies like Dell and HP that have to stick this software on their brand name computers. But analyst David Voorhaus of the Yankee Group says they don't have much choice.
It's a PR nightmare, but at the same time, they can't afford to be forsaking the Chinese market.
U.S. officials are sounding off, calling this unjustified and a serious barrier to trade, but Voorhaus says
they're not going to shut down U.S.-China trade. That would be foolish.
He says there could be limited trade sanctions, along with demands the Chinese fix the software, making it less oppressive and open to cyber attack. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Major markets in Asia ended the week on a strong note. In Europe, shares are mostly higher right now. Wall Street finally saw some stronger gains yesterday. The Dow picked up 173 points to close at 8,472. Strength in the markets wasn't much of a story, though, by yesterday afternoon after the death of Michael Jackson. He sold more than 61 million albums in the U.S., It was a billion-dollar business, but reports say today he died awash in about $400 million in debt. Mark Sutherland, global editor of Billboard, joins us. How are you remembering Michael Jackson today?
Well, I think Michael Jackson really pretty much invented, being a modern global pop star.
And he certainly enjoyed the role of playing a wealthy international pop star. And I think the investment that most of us are most familiar with, that was probably the smartest, was the publishing catalog that gave Michael Jackson the rights to the Beatles songs. Can you explain that deal?
Yes, well, Michael Jackson bought ATV Music Publishing in the mid-'80s. Sometime after, in the mid-90s, he merged ATV with Sony Publishing. So obviously that's one of the most valuable, if not the most valuable, publishing catalogs in the world. So it was an extremely smart move because that guarantees you essentially a high level of income every year.
And Mark, what's the tone this morning in London as people react to Mr. Jackson's death?
Well, I think people are very surprised, shocked, and also very upset by it. Obviously, he was due to start his run of concerts here in London in just a couple of weeks, and those gigs had proved enormous sellers. There's a lot of people waking up this morning will be really disappointed that they're no longer going to get to see him play live.
Mark Sutherland is global editor of Billboard. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. And by Superbrands, Brandweek's annual ranking of America's top 2,000 brands. You can Google Brandweek Superbrands for more information.
Okay, we've got the Lakers, but last night, fans of LA's other team, the Clippers, had something to cheer about, too. They got to pick the first player in the NBA draft, superstar power forward Blake Griffin. But is that really something to cheer about, given the Clippers' history?
Nihar Patel takes a look.
The LA Clippers are, to many, a punchline to a joke.
This studio holds 380 people.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's exactly like being at a Clippers game.
That was recent LA transplant Conan O'Brien on The Tonight Show. Last season, the Clippers had one of the league's worst records. But there's an upside to that. Thanks to the NBA's draft lottery, the worst-performing teams pick early, and the Clippers won the first pick.
The first pick in the draft tends to be a more productive player than the players who are taken afterwards.
Dave Barry is associate professor of economics at Southern Utah University and co-author of the book Wages of Wins.
And it's not just the productivity of the players that's different. It's also fans react to you getting that first pick. Getting the first pick in the draft enhances your gate revenue. So it's a huge benefit.
Now, the Clippers haven't exactly had the best of luck when it comes to drafting players. They've ended up with more busts than superstars. Michael Olowokandi comes to mind. Fans joke about the so-called Clipper curse, but the players may not be the only ones to blame. It could also be the front office. A team of statisticians from ESPN created a metric called the EWA. That measures the estimated number of wins each NBA player has added to a given team. When you combine all the EWAs for every team, a pattern develops. Over a 20-year span, the Clippers are dead last.
I think they've created a lot of their own bad luck.
ESPN.com stat guru John Hollinger.
I think it's just been terrible mismanagement more than anything else. And it's shown in their ability to select and develop players.
If Blake Griffin doesn't pan out, it won't be too big a financial drain on the organization. Unlike other sports leagues, the NBA has a limit on how much rookies can make their first few years, which means no astronomical contract for Griffin, unless, of course, he can break the curse. In Los Angeles, I'm Nihar Patel for Marketplace.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org and have a great weekend. I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.